The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, what do you think about the stretch mark five giving work to the Pistons?
So much skill. I was on my Slick Rick like Joker. Don't hurt me again. Don't hurt me again. Let's start the show. He got game.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
What up, doe? We give the people what they want.
We have an update on the number four pick in the NFL draft. We have an update on Russell Wilson's future with the Seahawks. But we start with Joel Embiid and the 76ers just absolutely having their way with the Boston Celtics. What did you think of the performance of Joel Embiid last night?
He's playing like an old school Chevy, and I appreciate that. Because look at that, old school post moves, getting it on the block, jab step, pump fake, drive the middle. And how about the double step back at the end of the game for a 7-footer? Get a small player on you, punish them. And that's what he's doing. I appreciate that. And he truly exposes, and I know the Celtics have dealt with a lot of COVID-related missed games with their big up front. But he really exposes when these two teams play, why Boston big man production is going to cost them when the postseason comes. They've struggled. Now, Robert Williams has shown promise, and I believe that guy can be somebody that they can rely on moving forward. And Taco Fall, you know, the big fella is a fan favorite, but I still need him to ball a lot better. You know, Wagner is my guy from Michigan. But they're going to need some consistency at that spot, Jacoby, along with Kemba Walker. If the Celtics are going to do anything, I want to celebrate the Sixers being tied with the Nets for the best record in the East. But it's hard to ignore that the Celtics are struggling in that conference when you start to look at the standings.
And they had no answer for Embiid, but they also turned the ball over a lot. I mean, this wasn't all just good defense from the 76ers. It just seemed like they had, I mean, Smart had 6 turnovers, and the Celtics as a team had 22 turnovers. This Boston team is just not only below expectations, but way, way below expectations. When you look at the standings in the East and you see where Boston is, that is not where any of us expected them to be at the beginning of the season. But right now, we're going to focus on the Western Conference, because the Warriors and the Bucks game went down to the wire at the very end. The ball was kind of bouncing around. No one really knew where it was going, and it ended up getting blocked by Andrew Wiggins right here, and the Warriors came away with the win, and Steph Curry was cooking again. What do you think about these Warriors as they hover around that playing position in the West?
Good to see Wiggins making plays. And when Oubre was struggling earlier in the year, you know, I came onto this show and told everybody to calm down, that he was going to be a productive player. And against the Hawks and in this game, he played really well. But the highlight from this game, and obviously you want to see Wiseman be productive and catch some lobs and give you some rim running. The elephant in the room is that the Golden State Warriors are going to be a part of the play-in game, which means Steph Curry, the greatest home run hitter in the history of the NBA from three-point range, is going to get a chance to not only play himself into the playoffs, but possibly upset one of these top seeds. Imagine you're the Suns, you're the Jazz, and you get the Golden State Warriors and a hot Steph Curry in the first round. That's what stood out when I watched this game, Jacoby.
Now, the play-in situation is a little complicated. 7 and 8 would play each other, and 9 and 10 would play each other. The loser of 7 and 8 would then play the winner of 9 and 10 for the 8th seed. Now, that could mean that the Jazz or the Suns, as you mentioned, end up playing the Warriors in the first round. And whenever you have Steph Curry, you have a chance for an upset, even in a seven-game series. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch how this all ends up with the Mavericks playing really well and the Lakers kind of sliding. We could be in a position where the Lakers have to win to get in the playoffs, but we will see. And right now, we focus our attention to the NFL draft. And Jalen, we featured Kyle Pitts on this show. Because we know that there's going to be three quarterbacks, one, two, and three. But the number four spot is the Atlanta Falcons. They need to take Kyle Pitts there. And Schefter's saying that they're looking at maybe trading down. The Atlanta Falcons need to take Kyle Pitts at number four. They should not trade down. What do you think about that?
Game changer. And just physically, you get a chance to line him up in a huddle with Julio Jones? Wow, Jacoby. Talk about putting fear in the defense. And the tight end position has evolved. This guy's going to be able to line up in so many different places and be a contributor in so many different ways for their team. I like this for the Falcons.
They really should not trade out of this spot, but any other team could give up a lot because Kyle Pitts is that sort of a game changer. You could put him at receiver. He scored 12 touchdowns last year in about 7.5 games. He is going to be in the discussion with Waller, Kittle, and Kelsey as the best tight ends in the game. I'd say this season, that's how impactful this young man should be. And Atlanta Falcons and Atlanta Falcons fans, please, please, please do not mess this up. Just take the short thing. Kyle Pitts. Moving on. Russell Wilson has been in the news a lot this offseason about whether or not he wants to leave or whether or not he's going to stay and what the Seahawks are going to do to help him. Well, Carlos Dunlap and others have said that Russell Wilson told them that he is going to stay with the Seahawks. Jalen, what does that mean to you?
It's like, what you want to do, what you want to do. So here's how this works. We all under contract to play for this season. After that, all bets are off. So, in translation, yes, what he said is accurate. He is there to stay, but for only this season. That's how I interpret this. Until they protect him better, do something along the offensive line. What do you think?
See, here's how it works. Your girlfriend doesn't come to you and say, you know what, I'm thinking about breaking up with you in a month. You know what I mean? Like, you tear that Band-Aid off. And I feel the same way about Russell Wilson. He's like, yeah, I'm staying. Right now, I'm staying. I'm definitely staying for this season. I'm definitely going to stay for this season. He's like, I'm staying, Mr. Dunlap, so you should sign that contract. I'm staying for these 17 games, and we will see what happens after that. Because I, like you, do not believe that Russell Wilson is long for this franchise, especially if they come up short in the playoffs again like they did last year against the Rams at home. Well, we've got some more bad news for Texans fans and Deshaun Watson. Two of the 22 accusers of sexual misconduct at the hands of Watson have come out and spoke publicly, and the NFL is taking it very seriously, and they're investigating, and Nike has now suspended their relationship with Watson. Jalen, with all of this going on, do you think Watson will play on an NFL field in week one?
I don't, Jacoby. I think at this point, it's best for all parties involved, Deshaun Watson, the NFL, and obviously with the accusers, is to take a step back and allow him to get this sorted out before football even becomes the focus. As these numbers continue to add up, I think that's the best course of action for each side.
Yes, as the more details come out and the more I read about this, just the more serious and disgusting the accusations are against Watson. I think that through the investigation and through the civil suit, the NFL will eventually end up suspending him. I don't know if they will, but I think they will eventually, and he will not play week one, whether it's for the Texans or another team. Jalen, moving on. Last night in the Raptors-Lakers game, we had something that you like to call a hold me back moment. There's OG and Anobi straight up wrestling with Schroeder.
Hold me back!
Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Coming to you live from the Seaport District in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I don't know why we do this every day, but against our better judgment, we allow you to decide what we will discuss in a segment called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss a topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we will keep it moving, Jalen. And we start with ESPN put out a list and everybody on the internet got mad about it. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
These lists are designed to be controversial, okay? So LaMelo Ball being at 3, at 18 years of age, some people may consider that high because he's ahead of a lot of other people that are more accomplished. But ain't this his home? Ain't this his home turf? Ain't
yes,
he 101? Okay, so we gonna keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Tom Brady is launching an NFT company. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
I want to hit the brakes on this.
Okay. Tom Brady is partnering with some others, and he's launching an NFT company. Now, Jalen, before I even attempt to explain what an NFT is, I'm going to say NFT is like TikTok for me. I understand it's important. I understand it's popular. It's something that a lot of people are into, but I'm out. I'll be investing in stocks, just like my granddad.
Well said. I'm going to be following this one closely. But Tom Brady been about that bread recently, and I ain't mad at him at all. The GOAT at quarterback, still winning Super Bowls, going to Tampa, just got a new deal. He got bread to invest. He got money to blow. So, of course, he's launching an NFT company. You surprised?
No, not at all. Moving on. The Lakers and the Raptors had a hold me back moment. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
We're not promoting violence. We're just having some fun. Hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes on this one. Jalen, just watch this play and just commentate it for us. Just commentate it. Give us your Marv Albert.
So basically, go to the basket, gets fouled, and then you straddle the other guy. And at that point, when you stand up, and then you got to stand up really fast, and then it becomes, hold me back. Because Gary Trent just got traded there and he been balling. He ain't trying to punch nobody with those right hands. That three been money. And Montrezl Harrell getting nice minutes now that LeBron James and AD's out. He ain't trying to necessarily be missing no games. So we'll get ejected for the day. And OG Anunoby always is a physical presence for the Raptors, who been really getting some great contributions from some of their new players.
My favorite part about this exchange is after the game, Harrell was asked if he had beef with anybody on the Raptors. He said, I have beef with everyone not in a Lakers jersey. That's my favorite quote. I have beef. He's like, the refs, the vendors, the people in the stands. He's like, if you're not wearing a white and blue Lakers jersey, I have beef with you. Big
Get
shout
your
to
money,
Trez.
Dennis
that was
Schroeder.
A lot of fun.
Get your money, Dennis Schroeder.
Moving on to another game in the NBA last night, the Hawks eked out a win against the Pelicans. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Oh, man. Hit the brakes.
Trae Young had 30, and the Hawks were absolutely on fire from three in the third quarter to get the win. What do you think about their performance ever since they switched coaches?
I think they switched coaches, and it coincided when Bogdanovich returned. So now as ownership, you give yourself a chance to truly assess if Nate McMillan could do this job, which we know he could because we predicted that this would happen when Nate hired him. And then you acquire Lou Will, and how fantastic has Trae Young been? Mm-hmm. Scoring the ball, getting assists. The Atlanta Hawks, peace up, A-Town down.
Look at him in the four spot. I mean, if you would have showed me these standings before the season, I would say, all right, well, three people got hurt on the Celtics. I don't know what happened to the Hawks. But look at these standings. This is wild. This is going to be real fun to see who ends up playing who in the play-in game. Are the Knicks going to make the playoffs? There is so much going on in the East right now and still to be seen in these last 20, 25 games. I can't wait for that drama to unfold. But we move on. You've got the old English D on your hat. We've got a uniform news.
Hit the
brakes. Major League
Baseball. Hit the
brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes on this one. So, the Red Sox unveiled some new uniforms, and they're Boston Marathon themed. But why do they have to look like this? Like, what is that? Just put a patch on the regular uniform.
You a Die Easy fan? You tell me.
Like you tell me. North Carolina and UCLA, like, what is this? What is this? You know what, Jalen? This is LeBron's fault. Ever since LeBron became part of the ownership group, now they got yellow uniforms. Now they're looking like Big Bird. LeBron James is trolling with this one. Moving on. Sticking with baseball, we have some news about your Detroit Tigers.
Keep
moving or hit the brakes. Akil Baddoo hit a walk-off. Two-out single to give the Tigers the win in the 10th inning. Jalen, you getting excited about your Tigers this year?
Absolutely. The coldest Baddoo since Erica. You see him at the plate. It goes on and on and on and on. And by the way, this bat is signed by the legend, Willie Horton. This is what we do here.
It is so cold in the D. Jalen, we have some news about potentially legal gambling right here in New York City. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
New York has officially approved legal online sports betting, which means I don't have to go to New Jersey to lose money on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl anymore. I'm so excited about this. I'm just not even going to tell my wife. I'm not even going to tell my wife that I'm gambling on sports as much as I'm about to be gambling on sports.
And also, this is just what happened for Detroiters and Michiganders used to always go to Canada to gamble. Mm-hmm. So we started having casinos. This is the exact same thing. Instead of you donating to Jersey, you can now donate to New York City.
I wish Mahomes won the Super Bowl. Moving on. Francis Ngannou has proposed a very interesting future opponent. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hey, man, this show is way too good, man. Hit the brakes.
We'll hit the brakes on this one. Francis Ngannou, no one wants to fight this man. He is terrifying. So what did he do? He decided that he wanted to fight Tyson Fury in the boxing ring. Do you think this potential mixed martial arts boxing matchup could actually happen?
So I want to pay homage to both of these gladiators. And you know I was at the Tyson Fury fight in Las Vegas before COVID even, you know, kicked off or whatever. And I got a profound respect for his skill and his size. And obviously we have that for Ngannou as well. But I think Tyson Fury might put them hands on him. Might pepper him, Jacoby. That's what I believe. I saw what he did to Deontay Wilder. I believe that's just a different sport. What are your thoughts if they got into a ring to fight one another?
I think these should be two fight deals where one is in the octagon and one is in the boxing ring. Because whoever is going to change sports is going to lose. We saw it with Conor McGregor. We celebrated Conor McGregor for lasting as long as he did against Mayweather, but he really didn't have a chance. And I think Ngannou is one of the scariest people I have ever seen to be in professional fighting. It just seems like I can't picture him losing unless he does switch sports, because Tyson Fury has been boxing his whole life and he is quick and he will win if it ends up in the boxing ring.
See, the reason why Floyd considers himself the GOAT, that week of the Conor McGregor fight, you know what he was doing? He was launching his strip club. And when most people were going to bed, training, and not doing whatever they normally do, the champ who's now 50-0, TBE, he was launching his spot. He wasn't taking Conor serious. He was carrying Conor. He wanted us to believe that they could fight again. He let it go those rounds.
Jalen, there is a college in your home state of Michigan that is opening something called the Cannabis Center of Excellence. Jalen Rose, will you be signing up to study at the Cannabis Center of Excellence?
Here's what I'm about to be doing. I'm about to go there right now.
Go to break, Tommy. Go to break. Thank you so much for watching Jalen and Jacoby on television, but the experience does not end there. Every day we have exclusive content on our podcast. You get so much more than just the audio of the television show, so make sure you subscribe, rate, review, download the Jalen and Jacoby podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Jalen Rose, today might be the day that Kevin Durant returns to play for the Brooklyn Nets. Malika Andrews, our girl, said that he's officially available and probable to play this evening. What does this mean for the Nets?
It means that you must see a healthy Kevin Durant as the rest of the season progress in order to officially acknowledge that they have a legitimate chance to win it all this season. Their big three has only played together 7 total games this year. Wow. Only 7 total games. And the catalyst is that man, Kevin Durant, the 2-time champion, 2-time finals MVP, the elite scorer, 50-40-90 kind of guy. I know we got enamored with the MVP conversation and the marvelous play of James Harden, and rightfully so. I've called him the most unique basketball player in the history of the league years ago. I said this years ago, by the way. And Kyrie, like I said, his left hand needs its own channel on League Pass. He throwing left hand passes behind the back. He doing up and unders, hitting it off the glass. And so with all three of those guys eventually return, they're clearly, and I'm not breaking news, the head and shoulders favorite to win the East.
So, Jalen, you've always said that if all those three players are available, that they're the favorites to win the East. But do you still believe that even if they just become available and just start playing together right before the playoffs? Don't they need a little time together to gel on the court?
I think if they're all healthy going into the playoffs, they're good. But what you say has merit because Harden, hamstring. KD, hamstring. These are unpredictable injuries, obviously. And so you're going to ease Kevin Durant into it. He's not going to come out and play 48 minutes tonight, but you want to ease him into it. But once he's healthy, and Harden and Kyrie, they're so explosive, Jacoby, and adding Blake Griffin, adding LaMarcus Aldridge. Joe Harris has become the best percentage catch and shoot player in the league from three. Like, they got a squad. Like, Sean Marks has done a terrific job putting their team together. It's going to be great to see KD return.
We're off the next couple of days because the Masters are on. We'll be back next week. Thanks for watching, Jalen and Jacoby. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners, those who have been rocking with us for 10 years. Jalen, I have to get your thoughts on a couple things. You know I'm a die-easy Knicks fan. And yeah, you remember when the Knicks just mistreated one of the greatest Knickerbockers to ever wear the uniform, Charles Oakley. There's been a report that as the team tried to reconcile the relationship, they offered Oakley to retire his number. The Knicks don't retire a lot of numbers. Oakley says he refused because he couldn't be bought. What do you think about this? Look at that smile on your face.
I think that that's under the circumstances, a lame offer that you know that's going to get turned down.
Why's that?
Because Charles Oakley, if you look at the blood, sweat, and tears he put into the Knicks, he's a player that already deserved the chance to have his number retired, and they didn't do it. So now for them to choose to do it in 2021 after the incident took place, Charles has too much integrity for anybody to ever think, including himself, which is most important, that he sold his pride in order to get them to hang his jersey and basically, in his mind, bow down and kiss the hands without rings of James Dolan.
Yeah, I feel like what I did on the court should have earned my jersey in the rafters, not what happened when I was in the stands and your security came over. You know what I mean? Like, that should be the reason my jersey's in the rafters. Not because I went to a game and your security didn't know how to act. Like, that's really why his jersey should be in the rafters. You know who else needs their jersey in the rafters? Spike Lee. Put Spike Lee up there. Something. Just something to recognize his commitment to the Knickerbocker franchise. Now, Jalen, we didn't have time to do this on the show yesterday, but I'm starting to evaluate how I feel about things, right? And I had a pretty like visceral emotional response to seeing the Rangers play in a full stadium. So before I sort of like unpack that, when you saw the clip, I know you saw the clip, what did you feel? What was your response to that visual?
My response to that visual is, over the last few weeks, I've been to as many sporting events as anyone. And I could tell you, I guess, how each has varied if you wanted to take a snapshot as it related to COVID protocol. But I will say this, in being in each of those environments and taking tests sometimes twice a week, I've never failed one. I took one today before the show. And so at the NCAA game, went to two, Michigan, Indianapolis. One was at the basketball arena, and one was at the football stadium. So obviously that's two just different style of venues. The basketball game, what I saw is keep the lower bowl looking kind of empty for television. Mm-hmm. And then the higher you get, have more people up there.
Yeah, when they show the student section, like they showed the Baylor student section, I was like, wait a second. That looks a little different.
Right.
Like, oh, there's like one empty seat for like every group of five. They put like one empty seat between them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. And so going to NBA games, like in Detroit, they physically have you go to a different location. Henry Ford Hospital is their affiliate, and physically have to take your test and wait for the result before they allow you to go into the game. In Atlanta, they drive up and you got to do it in the car, the rapid fire testing. And so getting into each arena, I would say seems like 7,500 people at the most in arenas that hold like 25,000. So a third of the people socially distanced really well. But the one thing about being in that environment is you can hear everything. So remember, normally you at a game, right? It's still 25,000 people. You hope to try to find a moment when it's quiet, somebody at the free throw line, it's a break in the action or whatever, where you could just yell out whatever. And so that's what happened to Courtside Karen in Atlanta. You see, that's what I'm saying. Because now you at the game, it ain't as many people, so it ain't loud. So now people can hear everything that you say, especially the players.
And you're loud at sporting events. You're loud. Remember when we went to the boxing with Terrence Crawford? You were like, you were louder than his corner because we were close. Like you were like his corner was like he's boxing, looking over at you. You're standing up. You're blocking people. He's looking at you in the middle of a round. I'm like, Jay, I don't know if you're hurting or helping right now. I don't know if you're helping. Use a jab, bud. You're loud. I'm sure Pistons game, you know, I'm sure Dwayne Casey sometimes is like, dog, this is my job, all right? This is my job, Mr. Rose. I'll be coaching the team. You can just, you know, have your little cocktail and your popcorn. Enjoy the game, all right? I'll be coaching the team. You calling out Seth to run? Well, I remember looking at that. Look at the full stadium. It's kind of like when I see one of my friends. And I don't know if we're going to have a regular pound and a hug like we would have pre-COVID, or we're just going to fist bump. You know, when you go to a restaurant, like you case the joint. Yeah, to see how ventilated it is. Like, I found myself sitting outside yesterday. I'm like, why am I outside? Like, it's so much more comfortable inside. Like, I'm just so conditioned to be wary and to be paranoid and to fear this contagious disease that... When I see the visual of everybody sitting next to each other at a baseball game, and I saw a lot of people wearing masks. I'm just not there yet emotionally. Like I still have some trauma of like fear of crowds and fear of getting COVID. Because I remember one time I was jogging and my AirPod fell out. This is like before we knew anything about COVID. This is like March. And I remember my AirPod hit the ground and I was like, oh, that's it. I got COVID. I got COVID. That's it. I put this AirPod back in my ear. Definitely got COVID. Now that we know more about the disease and how it spreads, I'm not as concerned about it, but it was weird seeing the Rangers game like that. And then the NBA said they're hoping that the vaccine leads to full arenas. Hey, but how do you know that everyone in the arena got vaccinated? You know, like we're not going to get to 100% vaccinations. We're going to get to more and more. Millions of people are getting them every week. But the NFL just straight came out. The NFL just straight came out and was like, yeah, we're planning week one to be full occupancy in the stadiums and arenas. It's like, okay, well, Mr. Goodell, disrespectfully, you have no idea what the world's going to look like.
Like you he's just
forecasting the future of this disease, which is unpredictable. There could be variants. The vaccines might not work. Like, you don't know what's going to happen in 6 months, my guy. So why don't you just, why even come out and make a statement about what's happening in 6 months? I thought this whole pandemic was going to last a week and a half. What?
Jacoby. What? I got a secret. Pretend it's just us talking.
Okay.
That's just Mr. Goodell saying, hey, guys, send your checks for all 17 games. We're going to be operating. It's tougher to get reimbursed than the other way around. Send your checks. We plan to have full occupancy from day one. Send all 65,000 checks. Don't send 15,000. Don't send 25,000. We want them all. That's what I hear.
Yeah. Well, he's probably just saying, guess what? Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be back in order. We're going to get 100% of the football revenue that we all planned on that we missed out on last year. But he doesn't know. I don't know what the world's going to look like in 6 months. You don't know what the world's going to look like in 6 months. The only thing we learned is we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. So he might as well just say we're responsibly going to handle those decisions as we get closer to the time to do it. You know what I mean? Like, that's all he needs to say, following CDC policy. Gentlemen, a couple things I want to hit really quickly. Number one, DeMarcus Cousins is officially on the Clippers.
Boogie!
He says he's in the best shape of his career. Paul George says he's a lot left to give. Jalen, I need Rostradamus here. Rostradamus predict that DeMarcus Cousins signs a multi-year contract this offseason?
Multi-year contract this offseason? No, because he's coming off an injury, and he was out of the league the entire year. But I'm happy to see he and Isaiah Thomas. And remember, I just used them as an example together recently of how they were both 25-plus point scorers and then injuries and new opportunities basically derailed them getting the long-term deal that you're talking about because they were both in position to do so. And so the thing the Clippers is going to provide besides an opportunity is a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're playing well with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George on a contending team. You're playing minutes alongside Zubac and Morris on a contending team. You got Rondo. You guys have chemistry and a friendship. Y'all back on the same team.
Jalen, imagine this. The 3 seed hosting the 6 seed in the Staples Center. Marcus Cousins back in the playoffs going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers could end up as the 6th seed. We could have Clippers Lakers in round one. And Rondo's back. Boogie's back wearing a different uniform.
Boogie!
Like, that would be wild. I'm kind of rooting for that one, to be honest with you.
I'm rooting for it from a basketball perspective. But we need that in the conference finals. They're not allowed to give me that in the first round.
Mm-mm.
I need that in the conference finals.
It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way.
Because I need that in the conference finals.
If the Lakers and Clippers are playing, they'll be playing before the conference finals.
Because I need to see the Nuggets eliminate, for example, one of them if they're going to lose. Not have to eliminate each other in the first round. I want to see that in the conference finals.
But we'll
see.
No
doubt about it.
We'll see. Because I think they're either going to face the Clippers or the Suns in the first round. It's either Clippers, Suns, or Nuggets in the first round.
But you know what? As we were doing the Lakers and Clippers game the other night on ABC, that show actually has a researcher. So when I'm able to bounce ideas off, I'm able to come up with different thoughts and different facts and figures about the league, right?
You got thoughts.
And I realized something. The most overblown cliche in the history of the sport is anyone promoting a rivalry between the Lakers and the Clippers. Our producer, Demetrius, is probably about to cut off my microphone because I know he got a Lloyd Vaught jersey at his house. And I love black gold Gary Grant. That's my man. And Lamar Odom and, you know, Darius and Q Rich is my man. Corey Maggette's my man's in them. But every time these two squads play, people talk about it like it's Duke Carolina. Or like it's Michigan, Ohio State. Like it's really a rivalry. It is not. And I'm not going to even go like the treetop championships and NBA finals comparison. Let's just look at the current rosters. This is what I was doing.
Go ahead. I was going to say, when you walk up to the Staples Center where they both play, you pass a lot of Lakers statues. I know you love statues. You pass a lot of Lakers statues. When you look up in the rafters, there's a lot of Lakers banners and a lot of Lakers jerseys up there. There's a reason that Steve Ballmer is building a whole new arena just to get away from that dynamic, but continue with the current rosters.
I said this to David Jacoby, and it nearly blew his mind. The Clippers have never retired an NBA jersey.
I just don't even believe that to be true. I'm trying to think. Big Baby?
And how about it really being overplayed? And this is where we gather around the table, boys and girls, and be like, oh my God, this is really crazy. Yeah, one team has been in the finals 34 years. One team has 17 championships. The both have, other ones have zero. I get it. And you mentioned the retired numbers and the statues, but how about these rosters? Montrezl Harrell was on the Clippers last year. He joined the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
There are two guys that are as tough as any players in the entire league that are on my Dart Alley team. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get both of these guys to come on the show at the same time. The Morris Brothers.
Let's do it.
They got out of the vehicle for your rivalry game and walked into the arena together. Looked so fierce and rival written all over it, right? How about, it was more happening in the building. I see Serge with his Coming to America outfit on and I'm rolling with it. I ain't mad at him at all. He's always about his fashion. But I'm like, wait a minute. He played with Mark Gasol in Toronto and they only won a championship. Oh, and by the way, Kawhi played with them too. Huh. So when I look out on the floor, these guys have all been teammates, really.
A lot of guys that have each other's phone numbers. A lot of guys that have each other's phone numbers in this quote-unquote rivalry. And also, if you look at the matchup history, it's just not a rivalry. It's too one-sided to be a rivalry. Jalen, the Masters are on Thursday and Friday, so we will be back on Monday. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.